Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Trans-Pyrenees Race number 3. Supported by our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. Over the next 10 days, we'll follow 119 riders as they traverse the unique and beautiful landscape of the Pyrenees Mountains. They're about to begin the adventure of a lifetime, and a challenge that will see them cycle more than 1,700 kilometers, from the sandy beaches of the Atlantic to the warm, craggy cliffs of the Mediterranean, and then all the way back along the stunning, renowned Raid Parkour. David Eyre is race director at TPR number 3.
So this year's route will see riders depart from the Atlantic coastline in Saint-Jean-de-Luz, head all the way across the Pyrenees to the Mediterranean, and then follow the Raid Parkour home back to Saint-Jean-de-Luz for the finish. Control point 1 will be in Ainsa in Spain. We'll then see riders cross over the border to Auzat in France before coming back over into Spain for CP3 in Baja. The riders will then go along to Parkour 4 on the Costa Brava before Control Point 5 at Prats de Molo de Prest, which is the last control where we have volunteers to stamp their brevet cards before they begin the long journey home along the Raid Parkour.
This third edition of the TPR comes shortly after this year's Transcontinental Race, TCR number 9. While the shorter distance of TPR may appeal to many riders, crossing and climbing the Pyrenees on two wheels comes with its own challenges. Hannah Lobelessier is this year's race coordinator.
Having a race on our calendar that's around 1,800 kilometres rather than the 4,000 kilometres that the Transcontinental is, makes it more accessible to more riders, I think. So people that maybe don't have the experience or don't have the confidence to go and do such a huge race like the Transcontinental, it really opens up the opportunity for them. That's not to say that it's not a challenging race like that, because the terrain of the Pyrenees is obviously really challenging, but it opens it out to more people. And also it reduces the logistical burden of actually getting to and from the race as it starts and finishes in the same location. I think what makes the Trans-Pyrenees so special is that it's a race that doesn't just test riders' fitness. It's testing their routing choices and their ability to make decisions on the go and how adventurous they're willing to be with their route choices. So we really try to incentivize riders to take gravel or maybe hike or bike options in order to shortcut parts of the race. And the changing conditions in the Pyrenees, which can change so rapidly, might affect whether riders choose to take the road or whether to take those more adventurous options. And that makes it really exciting, not just for the riders, but also for the dot watchers following along at home.
TPR 3 will see a number of returning riders hooked on the magic of the picturesque Pyrenees. But many are racing for the first time, including Molly Weaver, cap number 9.
I think I really wanted to do an ultra that was more about the pedaling. Not that it's not about that when you're off-road, but I kind of wanted to strip it back to the riding. There's not so many other variables coming into it. I love the Pyrenees. I've been touring there quite a few times. When I first retired from racing, I went on a big tour there, and I kind of want to return back to that area. I also spent a lot of my career living in Girona, so especially once you get to like the east side of the route, that's a lot of like familiar terrain that I kind of know and love. I thought I wanted to return a little bit more to that sort of riding that I knew. I also thought I probably wasn't ready for something as big as a transcon or something, but I wanted something spectacular still, and I thought this was almost like, not to say it's easy, but like a kind of easy transition into like something really big, and kind of just test the waters a bit.
Something really big is exactly what our riders can expect on the long, iconic Raid Parkour. They'll take on climb after climb after climb. It's a grueling, magical, unforgettable experience.
I mean, the return parkour is truly spectacular. So it's essentially a complete bucket list of massive mountains to get over. So things which have been used regularly in the Tour de France and La Vuelta as well over many years. and as well as other kind of World Tour races, but you do them all in succession. So 30 cols in the space of 625 kilometers is a real challenge, and the views, the different perspectives, the landscapes, the way that everything changes from mountain to mountain is really, really special. And I think we as a race team love using that. It's a fantastic route, and riders seem to really enjoy it as well.
As with all ultra-distance races, and especially one with so much climbing, every rider will need to manage their body as well as their bike. Deciding when to take a break and when to push on will play a huge role in how their race pans out.
So I'm definitely going to be taking rests and stuff, but I think I probably have a little bit of a benefit in that I'm like young in my ultra career, but I've ridden for a long time. So I kind of know my body. I know like when I'm riding well and when I'm not, when I'm tired and when I need to have breaks. I'm also very used to like the peaks and troughs of it. The, you know, you can have massive extended periods where you think, oh my God, I'm hitting the wall and I'm not going to be able to carry on. And then you come good. And I can kind of tell the difference between when I'm going to come good and when I'm not. So, yeah, I kind of know pretty much when to rest and stuff. But with this one, I'm taking a bit of a different approach in that I'm going to be very strict with having breaks and not riding for too long.
TPR is made possible with the support of its fantastic volunteers. They play a vital role in making sure that the race is smoothly run, safe for riders, and fair for all.
We have a team of volunteers working with us on the races. So they are based both at home and also out in the various different CP locations along the route. So those volunteers who are helping us out from home, they are dot watchers. So they are checking riders' progress every day, like checking their follow my challenge data, seeing how their dots moving along, also checking on their social media. And they play an absolutely crucial role in our ability to deliver the race results afterwards. Also, it's a way of keeping one eye on rider safety as well. So if they spot anything, they can be flagging it to the team as we go. And then obviously the volunteers which are out on the road with us. So everywhere from the start location, registering riders as they're arriving, giving out their trackers, doing their bike checks in the big top tent in Saint Jean de Luz. We've then got teams of volunteers at each of the control points along the way as well, who will be entering the rider times and stamping their brevet card and really providing that kind of friendly face and probably a few words of encouragement along the way as well.
Our race partners can also be found at the start, finish and control points. James Bracey is from Tailfin.
I think, you know, it's one of those sort of races that is known by everybody. And also, it's just such a unique challenge involved in it. Like the climbs in the Pyrenees and stuff are some of the most, the hardest climbs that I've ever tried before. And it kind of like, it has that appeal of being, it's almost like it dangles the carrot of all these beautiful places, but it's so hard to get there and to complete this. So I think it is one of those events that, you know, anybody that completes it, it has like that amazing amount of kudos, and that's like something that, yeah, we're really, really pleased to be associated with.
TPR3 shares the same 10 simple rules as both the TCR and previous editions of the race. They are a key part of the race's spirit and ethos.
One of the things that Lost Stop races have is 10 simple rules. So these help to guide riders' choices, planning, decision-making out on the road. So it means that you end up with a level playing field. And if everyone sticks to those rules, you can be confident that the rider in front of you and the rider behind you is, I suppose, treating everything with the same integrity that you're doing as well, which is great. And so they play a really important role in the way that we deliver our races. The 10th rule of that is about the spirit of the race. So that comes, I suppose, back to that relationship between you and other riders. So it's much less about something specific like obeying all local traffic laws, and is much more about your relationship to your competitors and the idea of like a fair race being played out all along the road. And we can't be everywhere all the time in those media cars out on the road, so we can't see every rider's progress. And equally, for dot watchers watching along at home, it's really hard for them to get a complete view of everything. So like we rely a lot on the integrity of our riders and the trust that exists between them. And that's really what the spirit of the race encompasses. So everything from if you see a red light and you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no one around, you know you're going to stop at it because you expect everyone else to stop at it as well. So everything like that, I think, plays into the spirit of the race. And is something that's really close to our hearts at Lostock.
This year's Transcontinental Race saw the launch of a new initiative that recognises riders who are able to and choose to travel more sustainably.
The Green Leaderboard is composed of riders taking flight-free travel to and from the race, and it's one of the ways that we're looking to celebrate those riders that are taking more sustainable choices to get to and from our races. We're really aware of the environmental impact and the carbon footprint that our races have, and that is a result primarily from rider travel, which accounts for about 70% of our carbon footprint. So this year, we launched the Green Leaderboard at the Transcontinental Race, and following the success of that, we've been really happy to bring it to Transpyrenees as well. And this year, out of the 119 riders that we have on the start line for TPR, 70 of those riders are on the Green Leaderboard.
Thomas Jacquelinet won the first edition of the TPR and is back again this year, looking to put in another strong performance. To win a race like this, you need to think about where you sleep and how many hours you get to rest the legs. But there is no right way of approaching it. Everyone has their own strategy.
Well, usually I tend to stop longer than I want to, but that's just it. And I think I ride a little bit faster than the average, but I stop longer. So I would say that's my style. But it's like it just happens. It's not something I choose to do. It's my stop time is just it's just longer. And for a race like the Transpyrenees, the first time I chose not to take any sleeping kit, and this time around might do the same and relying on hotels for sleeping. And the first year I stopped like every night and had like 4 hours of proper sleep, so I was well rested. But I think this year the competition might be tougher, so I'm not sure it would cut it. I love the Pyrenees. It's like the best place to ride your bike, I feel like. And in the fall as well, it's really beautiful. Can be a little bit tough, but rewarding as well. And I love the climbs and I love the downhills. So, I mean, it's a great way. It's a great destination for mountain cycling, like with the road bike. So I'm just, enjoying being there.
Join us in our next episode, where we'll hear from some of our riders at registration day in Saint-Jean-de-Luz. There will be nerves and excitement as they arrive to collect their race caps, get their bikes checked, and make sure they are ready for what's sure to be another epic adventure in the Pyrenees Mountains. You can find daily content from the race on our social media and read daily race reports from the road. Thanks to our race partners, Physique, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.